And we're back. You're listening to Know Your States, Know Your Community, where we're talking to representatives from each of the 50 states in our union who now live here somewhere in our listening radius up here in North Idaho. We move on now to the Magnolia State, the 35th most populous state, home to just shy of 3 million people. The 20th state in the union, admitted on December 10th, 1817. The state is Mississippi, and our Mississippian is Brian Jacobs. Hi, Brian.
Hello, Jack. Jim.
It's nice to see you and nice to hear your voice here. Where in Mississippi specifically, where are you from?
I grew up just across the state line from Memphis, so about as far northwest in the state as you could possibly think of. You could cross the state line 5 minutes from my home, in a little town that's still around called Nesbitt.
Nesbitt,
Mississippi. Going to school in a place called Horn Lake is where I went from kindergarten through 12th grade, K through 12.
Were you way up north in Mississippi? Did you explore the rest of the state while you lived there, or were you mostly based in northern Mississippi?
You know, my childhood, I definitely stayed up north. However, the many endeavors in my life kind of took me all across the state. I had one job in my 20s where I worked all over the state, as far south as the Mississippi Gulf Coast. I spent some time in my military days in a place called Camp Shelby, which is in the southern part of Mississippi, which is one of the biggest National Guard training facilities in the United States. Mm-hmm. So I've done some traveling throughout and have familiarized myself with a good bit of the state.
Are you, when I think of Mississippi, I think of the river. Were you near the river?
Absolutely. Maybe not up here, but references to the Delta are prominent in the South. And, you know, I was just around the corner from the Delta and, you know, I'm maybe 3 or 4 miles as the crow flies to the water from where I resided. So, I mean, it wasn't very far. Mm-hmm. Like I said, you know, once you're in Memphis, you're crossing the big iconic Hernando de Soto Bridge, which is the one that actually joins Memphis to Arkansas.
So how large is Nesbitt when you were growing up? How large was it?
How many people can we fit in the studio? not big. I mean, now, admittedly, the part of the state I grew up in was very rural in the 80s and 90s. It has become a suburb almost of Memphis at this point, though.
Oh, wow.
A lot of overflow. So to put it in perspective, I graduated a high school class of about 250 students. There were three high schools at the time in the county that I grew up in. And now the rival school was in a town called South Haven, and I couldn't venture a guess of how many thousands of people are in that are there now. Again, because of the overflow from Memphis growing, Memphis, as big cities go, is actually very expansive. Smaller population. You don't put it on the map with, you know, the mega cities, but it did. Its borders expanded across into the Mississippi state line. So what I look at now, if I go home now, what I thought was a small town is very much not anymore. Mm-hmm. But it was a rural upbringing for sure.
What's the geography like there? Is it bluffy, heading down to the Mississippi River, or what's it look like?
It is as flat for the most part as you can see, until you do get to the bluff. And that's it's a good word because that's how we described it. And there's, it's been over two decades since I've lived there, so I forget what little highway you take, but there's a part where you're just driving, everything's flat, kind of surrounded by trees and kudzu. And then all of a sudden everything opens up and you drop down a couple hundred feet into the Delta. Mm. And then, you know, again, it's just wide open. You see the river as far as the visibility of the weather will let you at any given day.
You said a magic word for me that for someone who might not know, what's kudzu?
You know, kudzu is, I would describe it as a wildly invasive plant that if I'm going to say this because I know it'll be aired on the radio and I'm confident enough to think I'm correct in saying I think it was brought over from France at some point in the early history of the country. And this stuff will swallow a Volkswagen bus in a ditch if it sits there for more than a month or so. Yeah, it grows everywhere. I was terrified of it as a child.
Oh, really?
Like I thought that if you were walking and fell into a ditch that had kudzu in it, you're goner. It was my version of quicksand.
Yeah.
But I mean, the stuff would grow up foam poles or telephone poles. I mean, it's just everywhere. I mean, it could cover acres of ground. And it's just a green foliage. I mean, there's nothing, it's not toxic.
Does it have any blossoms on it?
No. No, it's just
okay.
Just takes over everything.
I've only ever really heard of it. I've never seen it. Certainly not in person. I'm sure I've seen it in pictures and stuff. Well, that's interesting. You learn something new every day. This is the part of the Mississippi River. Correct me if I'm wrong. Where it's going slow, right, and kind of starting to switch back and work its way down to the Gulf. Maybe that's not correct.
If you're looking at a map, it would appear that way.
Yeah.
But we have to remember the massive size of the Mississippi River.
Yeah.
Like in a narrow part, it could be 150 feet across.
Yeah.
So what appears still and calm, I mean, it still can be pretty dangerous water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this isn't going down and splashing in the creek.
Yeah.
So it's picturesque for sure.
Yeah.
But it's still a beast that needs to be treated with caution.
Yeah.
Not to be overly dramatic, but it, you know.
Is there, we're talking about the river more than the land of the state itself, but is there still a lot of traffic on the river? Commercial traffic? What do you see when you look at the Mississippi River?
It's definitely used for commerce still. I don't know if this is still true to this day, but you know, they would do riverboat cruises, old style steamboats, and you go and have dinner and some people would establish casinos because that was one way you could get around laws to have it on water as opposed to on the hard ground. So, and that's probably the biggest use for it still is, you know, getting from point A to point B with some form of goods.
Yeah.
Is there a difference? I grew up in Indiana where there was a difference. I grew up way north as opposed to South Indiana. Is there a difference? You know, Mississippi I see as a rectangle on its lengthwise. Is there a difference between North Mississippi and South Mississippi, the state, in terms of in terms of geography, in terms of tell me about your state. You know, you're tucked away. You're almost a suburb of Memphis.
Correct.
And
yeah, I mean, excuse me. I think the biggest difference you would notice would not necessarily be north south, but more so the central part of the state. You would almost look at the north and the south as being similar in a lot of ways, as far as the demographic, a little bit more populated. Central Mississippi is really what you think of when you're talking about where these old blues musicians and people of that ilk came up, because it's still a lot of farmland. You know, people think of cotton fields, but they're, you know, soybeans and all sorts of stuff. So there is a lot of farmland in central Mississippi. The north and south, you know, have a lot of the population of that 3 million would be in those areas. And then pretty calm and quiet in the middle 50% probably.
I'm looking at a map right now, and where you're from, there's Memphis, and then you go to the south part. I've only been to Biloxi. It's almost New Orleans.
Exactly, and that would be the one difference, I would say, in the demographic, because you do have a lot of that Louisiana or Creole influence along the coastal regions, because you can get from Biloxi to New Orleans in an hour, less than an hour.
Yeah. Hardly no time. As you look back upon Mississippi and probably as you have moved through time, people's notions of Mississippi, are there any misconceptions that you can think of that, oh, you're from Mississippi? I have to admit I have one, humidity.
No, that's 100% true. There is no sugarcoating that one. It is humid. The summers can be pretty miserable by North Idaho standards. You know, my father, who he doesn't live in Mississippi anymore, but he still lives in Tennessee. And I remember one conversation I had with him just this summer. You know, telling me that he just got done. He owns a place with 9 acres and just got off the tractor cutting the lawn. And he's like, yeah, it's heat index is about 114 today. Humidity was 98%. So to go inside and drink a glass of water. I'm like, you can say you get acclimated to it. I don't know that you ever do fully. Mm-hmm. You just don't understand it until you move from a place like that to this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then going back is, I imagine.
Do you visit often?
Not as often as I'd like. You know, I'm just at the point in my life. I am raising young children and just, you know, haven't had the opportunities that I would like to as much. Still have a lot of close friends. Not so much family anymore in Mississippi, but a lot of the people that I grew up with and I'm the closest with still reside in Mississippi. Mm-hmm. So I'm overdue for a trip back. That's for sure. I think it's been probably about 2 years since the unfortunate passing of a good friend of mine was the last time I was there.
Okay.
But yeah, we're ready to, it's time to go back again.
It is pretty rural. I mean, I'm looking at a map of it here, and we know it doesn't have a huge population. Do I characterize that correctly? It's pretty rural. None of the cities are really huge in Mississippi.
No. I don't know if I'm accurate, but I would say probably if you get outside of the northern border and you're getting out of the Memphis suburbs, mm-hmm. Oxford and Hattiesburg and Starkville, Mississippi are where the three biggest schools are, of course, being Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Southern Mississippi State University. Mm-hmm. So the college campuses tend to obviously draw in some populace. And then the coastal region, the Biloxi, the D'Iberville, you know, that area has seen its share of casinos and things like that. So that sort of thing will bolster the population. Mm-hmm. But to my earlier comments, the central part of the state, you can just drive for hours and not see houses.
Yeah. It's and still agricultural?
Very much so. I mean, yeah. Mississippi State is, an agricultural and, you know, veterinary known collegiate campus. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about food. What do you miss from Mississippi when as far as the cuisine?
Yeah. True Southerner, barbecue of pretty much any sort. We have some places up here that do a good job, but it's a different style. I did grow up going to the world champion barbecue competition in Memphis all the time because I was across the state line, and we're talking, you know, I don't think you people here, I go, I don't think people realize how into it these competitions people get.
Yeah.
You're talking about people showing up with cookers and smokers that are on 3-story high trailers. Uh-huh. And I mean, this is a passion for people. And I do miss that quite a bit. Mm-hmm. It's just all comfort food. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just no other way to describe it. It's all comfort food. Even if you go to the southern part of the state and you start getting that Creole influence, miss a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Cornbread.
Uh-huh.
Cornbread and beans and, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting hungry again.
I know. Yeah.
I'm sure that every time you bring this topic up, it's like, yep, uh-huh. Lunchtime.
How about the weather? I mean, the seasons. Did you get snow in Nesbitt ever?
Every now and again, but it was a catastrophic event if a quarter of an inch fell on the ground and stuck. I mean, you know, waking up that once every couple of years and looking outside, and then you're watching the ticker on the TV going, oh, please say DeSoto County Schools. Uh-huh. You know, no, the biggest problem is not that people don't know what to do. It's that they're just not prepared to handle it.
Exactly.
So, you know, one of the biggest events I remember, I believe it was either 1992 or 1994. I can't recall, but we had basically described as the Great Ice Storm. So it would, the conditions were as such, we weren't getting snow. We were getting a lot of freezing rain and it basically coated the entire mid-south region in half an inch of ice. I mean, power was out for a couple weeks. I mean, it shut down the world down there.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, not much of the pretty stuff. The winter weather would be more nasty. You know, what we would think of as like, you know, March here where everything's melting off and it's just kind of gray.
Is there a rainy season?
That would be the entire summer. you know, that's another thing that, you know, I learned the difference of climates across the country when I moved here, because, you know, a hard rainstorm here is nothing down there. Yeah. I mean,
okay.
You can get 2.5 inches of rain in one good summer storm down there. And, you know, there have been many times where I remember driving down the road and just windshield wipers aren't made for it. You just pull over and stop because you cannot see where you're going because it rains so hard.
Now, when you're a kid growing up, what station was your house music-wise tuned into?
So my parents met in Nashville as musicians on the Strip. My mom was playing music a couple nights a week at the Howard Johnson downtown Nashville. My dad was a guitar player, and somebody told him they should meet, and you know, and that's what happened. They met. I came to be, and then that's when they moved to Mississippi with their careers and, you know, stopped playing music as much. But to that end, my dad was a country musician and, you know, the local country station was always on the radio.
Okay.
What I was listening to more so was honestly my dad playing music at home. His influences were all the Three Finger Thomas or, your Chet Atkins and the finger picking styles of the 50s, 60s, and 70s musicians. And that was probably some of my biggest influence. I still look at my dad as a musician and aspire to be the guitar player that he is. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like probably vocally I've probably got him at this point, because I do different styles and I've probably tested my vocal range a little bit more, but my dad as a guitar player is who I've always kind of looked after. On the other side, my mom's side of things was more of the folk genre. There was, you know, a lot of the Mamas and the Papas, the John Denvers, and I can remember being a kid at, you know, at home, and my mom's band would be in the house practicing, and I'd be waking up at 11 o'clock at night because music would be coming out of the living room or something like that. So, yeah, it's definitely all-encompassing in my childhood. Music was everywhere.
And I noticed on a map that Nesbitt is northwest of Tupelo, Mississippi. And why would that be an important town?
There is someone, I'm trying to think of the name, someone that came from Tupelo named Elvis Presley, who is probably the most famous Mississippian, whether people think of it that way or not. Tupelo is still a couple hours away.
Have you been down there and visited? Like, is there Elvis Presley Museum or?
There is. It's not as all-encompassing as you might think. Definitely the Elvis influence is everywhere in Tupelo. But he was kind of known throughout the whole state. I mean, there's actually a Presley family ranch, one of the many properties that they owned, that was only about 5 minutes away from where I grew up. So... He had the family had property all over the place. So, influence prominent everywhere. That's for sure.
Let's see, the changing tack here a little bit, because our time is short and I have a a question that kind of just occurred to me when we were talking about the weather. Are you too far north to get hurricanes, or was that a real concern?
You definitely would get, we're not talking hurricane like force storms or anything like that, but you definitely would get the side effects from it. Okay. You know, there'd be some pretty massive storms in the Gulf, and you would definitely get some pretty gnarly showers that would come as a product of that. The other thing that I would bring up with regards to the weather, you know, people think of Tornado Alley, they think of the Midwest, they think of the wide open plains and things like that. We would get some tornadoes.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have time to share some of the stories that I've been through. But North Mississippi and Tennessee, those areas get every bit of the tornado traffic that you would hear about in the Texas and the Kansas and stuff like that.
Can you give roughly a distance-wise from North Mississippi to south and then east and west, the state in terms of if one's traveling?
Sure. And I know that pretty well. And I couldn't tell you the mileage, but if you're driving the speed limit on I-55, which will get you from Memphis to the coast, 6 hours you can get from north to south. So east to west, you know, driving it probably 3 hours. I mean, you don't have as many major highways going east-west.
East-west, you're right.
You know, as you do north-south. So.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not a small state, but when you're comparing it to living in Idaho, it's, you know, on the smaller side.
Relative to,
correct.
Where you have to stop overnight to get to the state capital for where we are here. Not quite that serious. What other big cultural things in our last few minutes here?
For me, growing up, and reading literature, William Faulkner, a biggie, and incredible writer. And that would be literary wise how I got a feel for Mississippi.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Faulkner is well represented, you know, in school, as being one of the most famous literary.
Yeah. Is that his famous county? Is that in Mississippi?
Oh, I can't begin to pronounce it.
Yeah, the one I can't pronounce.
Starts with a Y.
Let's see. So, I don't know. Anything else? I mean, when you think about the people who you knew in Mississippi, any differences with the people up here, or differences, similarities? What kind of just culturally getting talking to people, getting along with people? Is it about the same?
Well, there's definitely the ideal about Southern hospitality and things like that, which I do believe are still present in the South. You know, a lot. I still get funny faces, and I am in my 40s at this point. But when I first moved here, and I said yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, ma'am, and no, sir, to people, I know sometimes people, it's not me calling you old. It's a sign of respect, that sort of thing. But I think there's good people everywhere, and that's how I try to look at things. So I find the good folks, and if there's people that you get the vibe that you don't need to be around them, you separate yourself.
I've always felt positive about the word Mississippi. I can remember being a kid in grade school, you know, looking at just the word with all of the S's and the P's and the I's.
We all know how to spell it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I like the look of the word and the sound of the word. I can't think of another state that I have such a romance with the word itself.
Obviously the emphasis on being able to spell the state that you're from. You growing up and all you'd hear is M-I, crooked letter I, crooked letter I, humpback I.
Yeah.
I've never heard it that way.
Yeah.
That's
wonderful.
We always used it as, that's how you count if you need to count slowly. One Mississippi, two Mississippi,
three Mississippi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And the irony is not lost to me that it's a word that you have to enunciate. Uh-huh. But as a Southerner, I don't enunciate very well. And being somebody who is entering the world of radio, I'm going to have to challenge myself to slow down a little bit and make sure I'm speaking a little bit more clearly.
Yeah. 25 minutes has come and gone, or just this second. Anything else we need to say in conclusion?
The only thing I would add, I'll try to be brief. You know, this is a radio station. We have spoke about music a little bit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
If one was ever traveling through the state, I'm not going to say that this is a place that you would, you know, put a pin in your map and say, we've got to get there. But if you're ever traveling and you go through Clarksdale, Mississippi, there is more music history in Clarksdale, Mississippi than you could ever imagine.
Huh.
Clarksdale, Mississippi, the population, I don't know. It's probably a drop in a bucket. But that's where the crossroads were, that from Robert Johnson. There's still a monument there to this day that, you know, it's unclear exactly if the crossroads occurred, where they said it was. But crossroads, let's see, what else was in Clarksdale? Morgan Freeman still owns he owns a well-known blues club in Clarksdale called the Ground Zero Blues Club. That is operational to this day. He wanted to keep the blues alive and keep the culture of Mississippi music. So in a place like that, he bought a piece of property, established his club. He even put in apartments above it so that the traveling musicians would have a place to stay. And I was just looking yesterday. They're open four nights a week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, playing music every night. Yeah, and, you know, Sam Cooke was born in Clarksdale, Mississippi. So, you know, you think of Elvis, you think of the blues, but, you know, we also take credit for the King of Soul as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a lot happening in Clarksdale.
Wow. Yeah, that's a real – what a state for music.
Yeah.
Mississippi is. Yeah. And it would, just mentioning, yeah, those three things, that's something else. Yeah.
Did the Cash family, you know, there's a song.
They're from Arkansas.
Jackson, Mississippi. They're from Arkansas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If I'm not mistaken, Bessie Smith died in Clarksdale. The blues singer died in there. But I don't think she was a native Mississippian. Oh, boy. We just added a couple more syllables to that word.
Mississippian, yeah.
Mississippian.
Well, Brian, thanks so much for sharing about Mississippi.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I appreciate the time. I haven't been able to speak about my upbringing very much when it comes to where I'm from, and this was a great opportunity.
Yeah.
Great stories.